Locked On Red Sox, your daily Boston Red Sox podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to Locked On Red Sox here on the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. As always, I'm your host, Gabrielle, founder of Girl at the Game, and we are back for another Division Day crossover with my friend AJ Andrews, host of Locked On Blue Jays, every Wednesday in the month of March leading up to opening day for Major League Baseball. Every host on Locked On MLB will be doing a crossover with another show in their division to talk about season previews, ask each other those burning questions about each other's teams, and just kind of get familiar with each other before our teams get set to play 19 games together during the regular season. So I am super excited because I love talking to AJ. She is incredible, and I low-key am a huge Blue Jays fan when they're not playing the Red Sox. So AJ, this is so exciting.
I'm so set to do this. You know, growing up in Nova Scotia, it's either Blue Jays or Red Sox here. So there's a lot of healthy rivalry going on. And I'm excited to talk about this, especially since the Blue Jays might actually have the upper hand for a change.
Which, honestly, you love to see. So, okay. Do you want to start off by interrogating me, or do you want me to start off by interrogating you?
I think you should ask the questions first.
All right, so I'll kick it off. The first things first, the Blue Jays, I have been saying all winter long, I feel like they are going to be really good this year, and I feel like they are one of the teams that are being slept on big time around, you know, baseball Twitter and baseball media. How high are your expectations for your team this year?
Okay, so spoiler alert for the final segment. Very high. Super high. Like,
it's fine.
I've been a Blue Jays fan since I was like 5 or 6, when Blue Jays games would come on the old Aerial TV out at my parents' place in the middle of nowhere. And this is the first time I can remember where there's actual legitimate, like, we can win the World Series kind of hope. And, like, the 2015-2016 seasons, there was that kind of buzz. There wasn't really that buzz in 2015 because that season came out of nowhere. And then 2016, you know, there was that residual belief that, oh, maybe we can do this, but, you know, losing David Price, there were still doubts that the rotation would be able to hold up. Granted, there's still some problems with the rotation that I'm sure we're going to be talking about, but there's still so much more tangible hope, especially with the acquisition of George Springer coming in there. He's the first, like, mega free agent the Blue Jays have been able to lure. Like, Hyunjin Ryu was a big signing, but there wasn't really the fervor over Ryu that there was over Gerrit Cole in that free agent period. George Springer was, like, big ticket. Like, everyone's going after him, and the Blue Jays managed to get him, and we don't do that. So being able to have that level of talent injected into a core that should be on the up and up, it has a lot of people excited on Blue Jays Twitter, and I'm excited with them because, you know, the past couple years I've had to try and make a team with Sam Gavilio and Wilmer Font on it sound exciting on a daily basis, and I'm good, Gab, but, you know, I'm not a miracle worker.
I mean, very relatable given what I had to cover last season. And, you know, we're not going to play like the World Series championships, you know, whatever. Let's just all be honest here and say that it's not easy when your team's just terrible day after day, because what are you supposed to say? Like, oh, the bullpen blew it again. The pitching is terrible. No one's hitting. Like, for us, it's not easy. It's not fun when you're just saying the same thing over and over again. There's only so many ways to say it. So yes, yeah. I am also very excited about your team. I've got a couple things. So you actually already touched on some of the things I wanted to ask you. So George Springer, first of all, what did it feel like? You mentioned that the Blue Jays were finally able to lure a big name to Toronto. And I think you're right. They are not typically the team that's getting the big marquee name. And George Springer is obviously that name. So what kind of impact do you expect him to have both in game, but also just the marquee talent? I mean, it's huge for you guys. You got Ryu last year. I thought no one made enough of a deal about him coming. Your team is stacked and no one's talking about it.
Yeah. Earlier this offseason, after the signings, Andrew Stoughton, who's a very popular Blue Jays writer, pointed out that everyone trying to do the daily lineup for the Blue Jays, everyone was right, because there's like no wrong way to actually put this lineup together, just because it is so stacked from top to bottom. We haven't even mentioned Marcus Semien coming in either. And, you know,
That was my next question.
Semien coming in, allowing Kevin Biggio to shift to be the everyday third baseman and take Travis Shaw's bat out of the lineup. No offense, I know Shaw's a former Red Sox guy, but you can't be batting 230 in the lineup and not have the home runs to make up for it. But it just makes that lineup so much more complete, to the point where, you know, I don't see at bats for Randall Grichuk, and he had 12 home runs in 55 games last year. And that is a level of just up and down talent I don't think the Blue Jays have had in a long time. You could always point, like, this is a dangerous part of the lineup, and then here's Minori Kawasaki in the 9-hole. So there were breathers for pitchers. They're not going to get a breather against this team, because every one of the guys in the lineup is an established, confident hitter. And getting guys like Springer and Semien, who have had playoff success as well. Semien had a great series against the Astros last year, even after that slow start to his 2020. And Springer, we can rattle off his playoff credentials for the entire episode, but I don't think that's going to be very entertaining. So having guys with winning pedigrees come in and join, you know, the Baby Jays do have a championship under their belt. They won at AA New Hampshire, but having these guys come in and be able to, you know, show them what winning at the major league level looks like, that's just an added bit of, you know, necessary experience to try and help push this team to a level where, you know, they don't get swept in the first round by Tampa Bay.
Yeah. And you know what's funny is you mentioned Grichuk. No Red Sox batter in 2020 hit more than 11 home runs. And the top two were Xander Bogaerts and Rafael Devers. And it each took them 56 and 57 games respectively to do so. Is Rowdy Tellez still on your team?
Yes.
Okay. So Rowdy Tellez, I don't know if you noticed this, but Rowdy Tellez, low-key Red Sox killer.
Mm-hmm.
33 career home runs. Four of them have come at Fenway Park. Two of them have come off Eduardo Rodriguez. Two of them off Colton Brewer. One of them off Evaldi. One of them off Josh Taylor. The guy loves to homer off of the Boston Red Sox. I mean,
Rowdy loves him some Fenway.
11 career home runs out of 33 have come against the Red Sox since 2019.
Yeah.
That is ridiculous. So we're not even talking about like the big bats. You guys also just have this guy. Also, love that he is a Jewish baseball player, but the guy is a Red Sox killer. And it's just really funny because you always have like those guys randomly who hit really well against one team or in one ballpark. Like for some reason, I think Mitch Moreland always hit really well against the Oakland A's, and now he's on the Oakland A's. But yeah, just, I mean, your team is going to be so fun to watch. And I low-key, my final question to you is, do you think that they can go head-to-head with the Yankees? Because everyone's saying that the Yankees are going to be the top of the division this year, but honestly, I don't see it.
Yeah, this is a whole thing I got into with Stacey last week, just discussing our teams.
I have to listen to that.
Check it out. Two episodes worth of goodness. And as much as we talked about how stacked the lineup is for the Blue Jays, it's honestly going to come down to pitching and the rotation in particular. Both the Blue Jays and the Yankees have question marks throughout their rotation behind their aces. The Yankees obviously got Gerrit Cole. We got Hyunjin Ryu. Those guys are set. But, you know, there are question marks throughout. The Blue Jays, Nate Pearson already has a groin strain, and he's supposed to be our number two, and he's supposed to be the guy taking that leap and establishing himself as a credible major league starter this year, and already his spring training's been derailed. And then you have guys like Robbie Ray, Tanner Roark, Steven Matz, who were like, we're kind of hoping they bounce back from 2020 when things were a little odd, so... You know, hopefully we get some stuff from them. And then the Yankees have the same issue with guys like Corey Kluber and Jameson Taillon. Like, will they actually get 30 starts out of either of those men? And then it's, can you get a full season out of Jordan Montgomery? Will Davey Garcia be able to make that leap? There's so many question marks in the rotation. It's just going to come down to who can manage it better and who can get the most out of their starters. And I actually do like the Blue Jays. I give them the advantage in that regard just because they have more proven arms going for it. And even if they don't, their depth guys are tested. Anthony Kay has been tested. TJ Zoik has been tested. They have guys who they can call up and be able to put them out there and replace those guys if a Tanner Roark's ineffective. If Steven Matz has an injury, if Ross Stripling can't step in. They have guys who can go in there. Although if we get to the point where Tommy Malone is starting Blue Jays games, just end it. End it right there.
Honestly, I take your team too. I think your season series is going to be really close. And we'll talk later in the episode about our season series predictions. But I think that the Yankees and the Blue Jays are going to really go head to head. It's going to be really exciting.
You know what is really exciting though? Yeah.
What?
Built Bar's bracket, because they have their own version of March Madness going on the website at builtbar.com. They're posting matchups every day, and you can vote on your favorite flavor of Built Bar. So today's matchups, they got German chocolate against salted caramel, and then mocha against birthday cake. And like, I'm pretty sure German chocolate wins that first one for me. I don't know who to vote for in a second one. I'm a huge mocha girl, but then birthday cake is like the funnest flavor. I really don't know who to vote for on that one. But maybe you have a better idea, Gab, or maybe our listeners have better ideas. So they can go to builtbar.com, click on the bracket, make their vote to see their flavor through to the sweetest 16. I'm pretty confident in mocha. Mocha is a strong contender. So reminder, go to builtbar.com or to @built_bar on Twitter. And if you go to builtbar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON20, you get 20% off your next order of tasty, low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, coated in chocolate protein bars. And, you know, that's a win for everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. Just a reminder, guys, that promo code is LOCKEDON20 to get 20% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. Check back to see who won today's match and who will become the best tasting protein bar. We're covering everything you need to know about the Red Sox and the Blue Jays, but what about the rest of sports? Now the Locked On Podcast Network has you covered there as well with Locked On Today. It's hosted by the great Peter Bukowski, and it's all the sports news you need every morning in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get podcasts. All right, AJ, I am ready to be questioned.
All right, I've got a few. And it starts with obviously the hottest name between our two teams. And that is Joel Pamps. Gab, what's the deal with him? I swear to God, we've been playing tug of war over him for like a month and a half. Like, what's the deal with Joel Pamps? Is he really that good that, you know, we can't decide who gets him?
So he was claimed off the waivers by the Blue Jays like 2 days ago, right?
Yeah. And after y'all reclaimed him, after we claimed him from you.
Right. And he was put on waivers by the Diamondbacks in November, I believe.
Yeah.
So there's just this tug of war going on, and he was probably going to start the season at the alternate site, you know, as like a swingman kind of guy for the Red Sox. Now he's back with you guys.
Yeah.
Are we up to speed here that he...
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So now he's back in Toronto camp. All right, cool.
We DFA'd Jacob Wackus back to get him back.
Interesting. So this is so interesting just because, like, I mean, for starters, the Red Sox, like, historically are not known for being good at developing pitchers. So how he would actually do in our camp is very questionable just because, like, over the last few years, we have seen that a lot of our minor league arms are just, like, not very good. Though I will say part of that is not their fault, because if you're calling up guys from AAA to fill in at the major league level before they're ready because your major league pitchers are hurt or doing terribly, you can't really blame them, you know, because it's kind of like eating raw cookie dough and before it's done baking and then wondering why you're getting food poisoning. Like, maybe because it wasn't ready yet and you should have just waited. But anyway, he has a career 3.86 ERA in four games. In 2020, he appeared in two games. He had a 3 ERA. This is a guy whose sample size is so small. He actually already had appeared for the Red Sox in a spring training game. He went one inning, 0 ERA, 2 strikeouts. So, like I said, huge sample size right there. So much that we can predict for this guy.
I can see why both teams have been after him. Right? I mean,
George Springer, who? This guy is great. So this guy, you know, it's interesting. He's only appeared in 4 career games, 7 total career innings pitched in the regular season. Honestly, I don't even know what to say. It's kind of funny that they were working so hard to get him. I mean, it's obvious that the Red Sox need to bolster their farm system. So they're going to go after anyone who can remotely throw a baseball because they just need people to replenish their farm system. But I really don't even know what to tell you, because this is just such a comical situation of, like, he's here, he's there, he's here, he's there. I mean, the poor kid's probably been going back and forth across Florida for like the last 5 days. Baseball whiplash of, like, which team am I actually on?
He just shows up one day wearing an Orioles jersey just because, I don't know.
Hey guys, I'm on the Yankees. He's literally like Steve Pierce, where he's played for like every team in the division before spring training's even over.
Yeah. Someone, I pointed this out, someone called him this year's Oliver Drake, because Drake had that same thing where he was kind of bouncing around. But yeah, you know, fastball slider pitchers, they don't grow on trees, Gab. So Pants, obviously very important to both teams' fortunes. That's why it's a little surprising. Like, one of the big things we notice is the kind of exodus of talent from the Red Sox from a position standpoint. Obviously, I mean, Dustin Pedroia has been injured, but he retired. You now have no members of the starting outfield of that World Series team that you mentioned earlier in the podcast, with Jackie Bradley Jr. now signing with the Brewers and probably putting Billy McKinney and Derek Fisher out of work, which is hilarious. And then trading Andrew Benintendi to the Royals and getting Franchi Cordero, who is currently away from the team. And he signed Hunter Renfroe, which I'm not happy to see him still in the division after what he did to Hyunjin Ryu in the playoffs. But what can you expect from this rebuilt outfield to try and, you know, support your big bats in the lineup, like JD Martinez and Rafael Devers and Xander Bogart?
It was a real punch to the gut to see JBJ leave. I mean, we all knew it was coming, but it doesn't make it hurt any less when it happens. It just is a real shame that the Red Sox don't seem to want to invest in their talent long term, especially since they historically don't have a great record of developing homegrown talent. You know, Mookie, Pedroia, JBJ, Benintendi. I think Andrew Benintendi is the outlier just because he clearly needed a change of scenery. I mean, he was really struggling here, but Mookie and JBJ, I mean, that is the kind of duo that you should want to have in your uniform until the end of time, like until they can barely walk and you're like, get them segued so they can like segue around the outfield like Joe Bluth in Arrested Development. JBJ, I really think you're going to feel his absence most when you see the Red Sox pitchers giving up home runs that would have been prevented by JBJ, because he knew the outfield triangle so well that he probably could have done it blindfolded like he was in that Sandra Bullock Bird Box movie. I mean, this is a guy who was just so phenomenal that we got used to him being really good at saving the day and took it for granted. Like, I genuinely feel like he was underrated because we just got used to him saving the day all the time. So I think that the outfield will be okay. I think you're going to see a lot of different lineups and a lot of position switching throughout games, because Cora really wanted guys this offseason who were versatile. You know, that's why Marwin Gonzalez is here. That's why Kike Hernandez is here. Kike Hernandez has played every single position except catcher. Cora wanted guys that he could move around so he could switch it up whenever he wanted. And you're going to see some weird stuff this year. I think it's going to be very interesting. Not really good, but interesting.
We're definitely not saying good. I did see Danny Santana got a minor league deal as well from you guys. So that's another guy who you can play across the infield. So that'll help. I guess my final question then, before, you know, we get into our final segment, I'm a big fan of pitchers coming from overseas, and that still remains even after the experience with Shun Yamaguchi last year. The Red Sox bullpen has always been a bit weird in that you relied on Matt Barnes as your closer, and Matt Barnes has never really had closer stuff. He's been a competent setup man, but has never really been that guy to be back there. And it looks like he doesn't have to worry about it, because not only did you acquire the remains of Adam Ottavino from the Yankees, but you also signed Hirokazu Sawamura from Japan, from the Omiuri Giants. I'm intrigued by Sawamura, and I'm just wondering how you see that closer situation shaking out. Will he be able to outduel Ottavino to get the majority of the saves in Boston, whatever saves may be available? And just how that kind of shakes out with a bullpen that's needed some level of stability since Craig Kimbrell left.
Well, for starters, I will say that in Craig Kimbrell's final season, stability was far from the name of the game. I mean, that guy was a walking panic attack for me, leading all the way up to the ALCS, and the fact that in the 2018 postseason, Cora's starting rotation combined for over 13 innings of relief work because he didn't trust his bullpen. So just putting that out there. You know, Matt Barnes wants to be the closer so badly. Like, he says he wants to close, but he can't close. The guy has had so many blown saves over the last 2 years, including the final game of the 2019 season when he blew the save that cost Eduardo Rodriguez what would have been his 20th win of the season on the last day of the season. And I was there, and I legitimately wanted to pull a Drew Barrymore, jump over the fence, and smack that dude. But that's another story. So between Sawamura and Ottavino, I feel like Barnes shouldn't have to close. He does much better in, you know, the seventh, eighth innings, even the sixth inning, than he does in the closer role. We saw that over the last couple years that, like, you know, occasionally he can close, but he has a lot of trouble going from out number two to out number three without loading the bases, giving up a grand slam, giving up a home run, giving up a bases clearing double. Like, he just can't take that extra step without, you know, giving something away first. And that's just too stressful. You can't have that here. Adam Ottavino, his numbers from last year are skewed because he had one game in particular that was like really bad. I think he gave up 6 or 7 runs in one inning. And because the season was so short, you know, those one bad games, the same thing for Garrett Richards. If you have one bad game in 2020, your whole ERA for the season is absolutely screwed. So
the Red Sox has had something to do with that too. if I recall correctly, we loved seeing Adam Ottavino last year because we had his number.
Oh, great. Love to hear that.
Six runs without an out recorded on September 7th.
I think that's the game we're talking about. Yeah. So, but you know, the Red Sox today, their Sox notes, they have the stats that they pull. this came out literally this morning, not even 5 minutes ago. It's like they knew we were talking about this. From 2018 to 2020, Adam Ottavino made more scoreless appearances, 140, than any other pitcher. In those 3 years, 81.4% of his outings were scoreless, the highest rate in MLB with a minimum of 150 games. And last season, he allowed zero runs in 19 of his 24 appearances. So maybe we don't have him face your Blue Jays, but Adam Ottavino can still do it. He can still get it done. So that's great. And then you have Sawamura. Obviously, when you bring over a pitcher from Japan, like you said with Yamaguchi, it's a little stressful because the leagues are just different. And sometimes a pitcher doesn't adjust well. Koji Uehara, who of course was our legendary closer in the early 2010s, has been helping Sawamura adjust. He was at JetBlue Park either today or yesterday watching a sim game that he was pitching in. And, you know, he's kind of there to advise and help out. And I think part of that is because Koji was such a dominant closer. The two can really relate to each other. He can help him adjust. And it is worth noting that in Japan, in 10 seasons, the guy has a 2.82 ERA. He's closed 57 games, and he's actually apparently pitched 12 complete games, as well as 4 shutouts. And he has 75 career saves in 944 innings pitched in his career. This is a guy who has some impressive stuff. If they can figure out how to help that kind of carry over into this league, you might have another Koji situation on your hands where like the Red Sox actually have a lights out ninth inning guy. And I'm not kidding you. When I said that, I got the tingles just at the idea of the Red Sox actually finishing a game in a positive way.
Yeah. At the very least, the comparison in my mind was Hideki Okajima, who came over for y'all and was pretty freaking filthy.
Now at this point, after the last 2 years, I literally like drool over the idea of good pitching. That is where we're at. Like I watch good pitching and I'm like, got to get me some of that for my team. Like, please, please.
Oh man, it's going to be good.
So March Madness is getting into full swing. Spring training is heating up. Bet online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football obviously is over, but the NBA, college basketball, NHL are so hot right now. And of course, we are counting down the days till opening day for Major League Baseball. And if you're not into sports, which I don't know why you're listening to this podcast, but thank you. BetOnline has awards, TV shows, and reality TV betting too. They've got real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. They've got you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Hey, y'all. Baseball season's here, so you know what that means. Fantasy baseball season's here. I've got my first draft set up for this Sunday.
With me.
With Gab and other members of the Locked On podcast baseball community. So, you know, going to be super competitive, but we all have the same edge. And you can get that edge too. And that's Locked On Fantasy Baseball. It's a daily fantasy baseball podcast hosted by Scott Cullen, who is data-driven, has nearly 2 decades of fantasy baseball experience to offer the strategies and waiver wire pickups that lead to league wins. He's also in our league, so I may be using his podcast against him. So season-long fantasy, dynasty leagues, DFS, whatever, Locked On Fantasy Baseball covers it all. Subscribe to Locked On Fantasy Baseball wherever you get your podcasts.
I can't wait for our draft. I'm going to be terrible, quite frankly, because I've done one fantasy league in my entire life. It was football, and I shared my team with my boyfriend, and he did the bulk of the work. So
I was going to say, I can't wait for you to take Xander Bogaerts in the first round.
I mean, who wouldn't take Xander Bogaerts in the first round? Can we be real?
Me, but I have my own rules when it comes to fantasy.
No
Red Sox, no Yankees. Sorry.
I mean, if I could, I would take Ryu in a second. So
I know, because we have good players this year.
Ouch.
I told you I was going to get snarky.
We have good players. It's just very interesting to see if they will play well as a cohesive unit. I think that's the biggest question for the Red Sox this year is like, can all of these good pieces fit together well? Because a lot of times you'll have a good player or multiple good players, but the teamwork and the team cohesiveness just isn't there. You know, it's not a unit. It's just a bunch of individuals. And that's when you have a problem.
Well, that's going to lead to our final question then. How well do you think the Red Sox are going to do against the Blue Jays? And overall, how do you think Boston's going to perform this year?
I definitely think you guys will win the season series. I think it'll be kind of close, though. If we're playing 19 games against each other, I think maybe like we'll win 7 or 8 of them. Mm-hmm. But I just think you guys have such a dominant lineup and you've got some good pitching now. And that's what I've been saying about the Blue Jays for the last couple of years is like, you guys just needed more good pitching. And now you have it. I think you guys will win the series, but I think that the Red Sox might, you know, give you a little bit of trouble on occasion. I will say JBJ really liked homering off of you guys and I will miss that. Not on the same level as Rowdy Tellez facing us, but he kind of had a little bit of Blue Jays killer in him. So I will miss that for sure. What do you predict for our series? What do you think? How do you think it's going to shake out at the end of 19 games?
So here's the thing. It always seems like Eduardo Rodriguez has great starts against the Blue Jays. So I'm not thrilled to see him back for this season. So I think you're going to win. I'm going to say 3 out of 4 starts that Rodriguez has against the Blue Jays. But, you know, against the rest of that rotation, we've had some levels of success. We've been able to hit Eovaldi. We've been able to hit your boy, Martin Perez. Nick Pivetta, you don't know where his allegiances lie. So just kidding. But yeah, Garrett Richards was a good signing for your rotation and only to bolster that a bit. But like you said, we're top and down so good. Like, as long as our pitching staff is able to hold up, and as we've been recording this episode, we're getting news that Julian Merriweather is now shut down for the week with back tightness. So, you know, fun. But as long as the staff is healthy enough to be able to work around some of the guys in your lineup, like, you know, Rafael Devers always hits against the Blue Jays, but we've had a little more success against JD Martinez. Hopefully we've learned not to throw softballs to Hunter Renfroe. So I think you're correct that the Blue Jays are going to win the season series. I think it's going to be like 11-8 in that ballpark, but I think they're going to be competitive. And I like that they're actually going to be competitive as opposed to just me sitting there watching the screen saying, please, please don't put this in JD Martinez's wheelhouse. Oh, no. Oh, there it goes. Okay. All right. You know, so I'm looking forward to that.
How do you think you guys are going to finish your season?
In the playoffs. I said last week I want to see an ALCS. But I will take ALDS because then that'll mean like they either won the division or they won the wild card game. They need to start experiencing victories in the postseason. So that's what I'm looking for to make this a success. I'm not looking for, you know, World Series champion, get the champagne out. Just continuing that progress that was made in 2020 and continuing that growth to put the Blue Jays in a position to compete every year. That's going to be the key thing. That's the step they're going to have to take is consistent competitiveness.
You know, I think that you guys will be consistently competitive this year. I think it's going to be really fun to watch your team. You know, everyone's talking about like the Padres and the Dodgers, but you guys are going to be a real force in the American League this year. And I can't wait to watch it and root for you whenever you're not playing my team. So
we thank you for your support.
Well, of course. I mean, I think you guys have a young, fun team, and baseball just needs more fun. And the Blue Jays bring the fun. And like, I embrace that. I mean, as long as it's not Rowdy Tellez hitting 7 home runs off of the Red Sox in the 3-game series, like, you know, hey, I'm here for it. I think baseball is more fun when the teams are just all competitive. And I know that that's like kind of impossible, but it's definitely possible more than it's been. I really like a game where it's a battle. You know,
it's
give me
always
that.
More entertaining when there's actually the threat of a comeback.
Exactly. And there usually isn't. Baseball should be competitive almost all the time.
Yes. But what do you do to make Pittsburgh competitive?
Salary floor.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking. I just wanted to get a shot at Pittsburgh. Even though I'm
making more than an entire team's payroll.
Again, Gab, thank you for joining me and, you know, have a wonderful conversation about how good the Blue Jays are going to be this year, because I love it when my tires get pumped. So,
hey, I'm always here to pump your tires about my other favorite American League team. I'm going to wrap this up for us here. Thank you so much for listening to our latest Division Day. As always, subscribe to Locked On Red Sox and Locked On Blue Jays so that you never miss Division Day or any of our other episodes. Follow AJ on Twitter at @A_J_Andrews. Check out Locked On Blue Jays. It's at Locked On Jays, no blue. You can follow me on Twitter at GFSTARR1. You can follow Locked On Red Sox at @LO_Red Sox. Thanks so much for tuning in. Have a wonderful rest of your week. Wear a mask. And as always, go baseball. Because I can't say Locked On Reds and go Red Sox when it's across.
We can say Twitter is dumb, because that's what I say.
Okay, that too. Twitter is dumb. But follow us anyway.
Exactly.